Okay, so we've spoken a little bit about the fact that you have to make choices and you can't get around it, can't have everything in life. Now that we know that, we can start looking at the sort of choices that you have to make. And I just wanted to give some examples of that. There are things like, or taking a lodger is a good example. This is something that I have done in the past. You get money, basically, for renting out one of your rooms, which is nice, which means you can either work less or spend more money on stuff. But you sacrifice having free space and privacy. So that's a really good example of the types of trade-offs that you have to make in life financially. Another thing would be, so I'll give an example. For a period of my life, I was actually working in London full-time in insurance. And I also taught tutoring. I taught maths on the side. So I would work sort of most of Saturday as well. So I was doing a six-day work week. And the sacrifice I was making there was, obviously, I had a lot less free time, but the benefit was I had more money. So whenever you sort of set out to become wealthier or to try and make more money, you have to be aware that you will be sacrificing something initially. You will have to give up time. You will have to give up something that you enjoy or something that you like or some kind of luxury or some kind of gratification. That's just how it is. So you have to kind of start thinking about what level of wealth you want to get to. I think for most people, they just want to own their own house and retire comfortably. And that's fine. For some people, they'd like a bit more. They would like to travel to nice places or have nicer things, get a nicer car, maybe a bigger house. That's fine as well. And some people want more than that. They would like holiday home, they would like to retire earlier, retire with a higher level of income, or perhaps have a substantially larger or sort of much more luxurious lifestyle as they go along. But each time you want to get to a new level financially, you have to look at what the opportunity cost is there. A good example of that may be a banker. These people work very, very hard. You're expected to be at your desk. I mean, they're only contracted for 35 hours a week, but if you're not at your desk at 8 o'clock, then there's no way you're going to get a promotion because you've got all the other people there. It's very competitive. And if you leave at 5 o'clock, then forget about it. So there's this culture that everyone's there just doing ridiculous hours and trying to sort of climb the ladder. And there you go. That's your life for 10 or 20 years. On the flip side, you get a lot of money, like these guys. I mean, whew. So that's kind of the scale you have to think about. It's so easy just to go, oh yeah, I'd love to drive a Mercedes, and oh, I could really do with the bigger house, and yeah, that holiday looks really nice. But you just have to make sure that the value of that extra level to you is greater than the value of the sacrifices you're having to make. And if you make yourself miserable for 10 years just so you can buy a 4-bedroom detached house in the countryside, and then you don't really enjoy that 4-bedroom house enough to offset the decade of misery you spent to get it, then that was a bad decision. So you really have to kind of know yourself and really think about that. So anyway, I wanted to go into the different levels. I think the sort of lowest level above being unemployed is, I guess you'd sort of call it unskilled labor. So these are things, jobs that aren't particularly difficult to do, but somebody has to do them. And I'm not being judgmental at all here. Like I said, everything has pros and cons. There's upsides and downsides to everything. So it's ridiculous to look at one of these jobs and say, well, that's rubbish. It works for some people. That's what they want to do. So for some people, they're stuck in those jobs and that's not what they want to do. And it's fine to not want to do that. It's also fine to want it if you're happy. I mean, cleaning's a good example. I've had cleaners before. Some are better than others. But basically, anyone can get a brush and a sponge and run a vacuum cleaner around. So it's a job that basically anyone can do. It's not particularly well paid. But, you know, on the other hand, most of my cleaners would stick an iPod on and just be listening to music. It's not a particularly stressful job, I don't think. It's not a high level of responsibility. It's very flexible. You can choose your own hours. So that kind of work has its upsides as well. Other jobs I'd include in that category, probably things like security guard or shop assistant or, I don't know, some kind of clerical work in an office, something like that. So yeah, you know, it's fine. If that's what you want to do and you're happy with that, power to you. You can get to 5 o'clock and you just walk out the door. You never expected to do overtime. You never have to think about your job when you're not there. There's lots of sort of nice things to it. But at the same time, there's a reason that it's not very well paid. So that's kind of like that level. Then I'd say kind of the level up from that would be, I guess you'd call it sort of professional. So these are jobs that are a bit more technical or require more experience or more expertise to do. This would be things like, I don't know, teacher, doctor or lawyer, some sort of skilled work, tradespeople fall into this category, plumbers, builders, that kind of thing. So this isn't something that anyone could just pick up and do with no training. This actually takes some kind of skill and also involves a bit more responsibility. But you can make some pretty decent money with this. And I think this is the kind of strategy that most people have. Most people are looking to get into that kind of work because it is better paid. It's probably more rewarding as well. You're actually sort of doing something that challenges you a bit. And yeah, there's a chance to learn and develop. So it's pretty good, actually. At that level, you start looking at sort of supply and demand. So I think Tom Cruise is a great example. If you look at the movies that he's made, I looked at this, and I think the last 10 movies he made, none of them, or only one of them, grossed less than $100 million, or something ridiculous like that. So Tom Cruise gets paid a lot of money to do his work, because if you put Tom Cruise in a film, then it's going to make $100 million or more. But there's not very many actors that can get you that kind of guarantee. The way you start kind of moving up the food chain, so to speak, or basically getting paid more for the same amount of time, is by finding an area that is needed, so it's in demand, but that is hard for other people to do. You tend to find that the highest paid work is of that type. I mean, like dentistry is really, really good hourly rate because people need dentists. If your teeth are in problems, then you're not going to just not go to the dentist. You will go to the dentist. But it's a very skilled work. Not anyone can just be a dentist. So that's one of the ways you could kind of move up the chain and get more out of your time. So there are some sort of risks attached to it. And I'll get onto the sort of risk-reward balance later. But as you kind of specialize and focus in on a niche where you start to be able to do things that other people can't do because you've sort of specialized and become advanced in that. Of course, that means if that skill or thing is no longer needed by society, then you suddenly have nothing. So there are certain drawbacks to that strategy, but basically it's pretty good. I mean, if you're a very good teacher and then you become a head teacher and you're a very good head teacher, you will get paid more than other teachers because a good head is harder to do that job. So they get paid more. And there's not as many people that can do it. Now, all of these things basically come under the category of selling labor, selling time. Basically, you're paid an hourly rate, or you have to work a certain number of hours a week and you get paid an annual salary. So the only kind of way of increasing your income there is either to work more hours. So you could take a part-time job or a second job, or do night shift or something like that. Or your other option is to get more per hour, which, as I said, you have to sort of figure out what's needed, what's in demand, what things people, employers will pay for, and basically become skilled at that thing so that you could be paid more per hour. Very simple, work more or increase your hourly rate. And that's the only thing you can do there. But these are still basically selling time. And of course, if you're trying to sell time, there are only 24 hours in a day. You need to sleep for 8 of them. So it's harder to increase the number of hours. Increasing the value of the work is difficult as well. That takes time because you have to train and study and sort of become skilled at that. So it can be hard to basically boost that up. It does tend to happen over time. So you do tend to find people in their 50s get paid a lot better than people in their 20s for obvious reasons. They have the knowledge and experience. So you'll kind of just naturally move up that chain anyway. You can try and accelerate it by focusing your energy on developing certain skills or things like that. But there's a whole other sort of class of ways of making money that don't involve selling labor, selling your time. There can be things like being a merchant, which has been very popular for many centuries and has made a lot of people very rich. So that could be, it's basically taking advantage of sort of price differences. So if you can find a place where they sell coal for a pound a bag, and you find someone else that was willing to pay £2 a bag for the coal, then you can make a pound for every bag of coal you sell. Now, this isn't capped really by the time, because it takes the same amount of time to ferry one bag of coal as 10 bags of coal, pretty much. I mean, you just load up the van with an extra 9 bags, or an extra 100 bags, or buy a lorry and put 1,000 bags in it. So this type of work sort of has much more capacity to be scaled up. And so, yeah, this is what's called leverage or time leverage. The concept of a lever is that you can push on one end, the short end, and you get a big swing in the other. So the idea of time leverage is getting more out of your time and making your time more productive. And trading goods is an example of that, because it scales without having to take extra time, or without as much extra time. So you can double your income without having to double the amount of time that you spend, for example. And the modern day equivalent of that is kind of Amazon people, maybe sort of internet marketing, or people selling stuff on eBay, basically buying cheap, selling high. So there you go. That's an example of a strategy that's more time leveraged. You can, if you have a business and you can train and hire other people to do the work, then as long as the business makes enough money to pay their wages, you're able to get 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 10 times as much done without having to do it all yourself. And so again, becoming a business owner is a time leveraged income. And if you're very clever, you can actually arrange the business in such a way that you don't really have to spend any time at all on it. I mean, I went to Pizza Hut recently. I don't usually go to Pizza Hut, but I got persuaded into it. And I was shocked at how, I mean, the whole place was being run by 2 teenage girls. They were the only waitresses. Everything was self-service. There was one cook I noticed in the kitchen, and he looked to be in his late teens, early 20s. And the place was heaving. And people just got their own drinks, they got their own salad, they got their own pizza. The whole business just ran like clockwork by itself. The owner, the person that owns that business, doesn't need to spend any time there, because it's all systemized and it just generates money for them. So that's another route. If you can build an organization around you, around some kind of product or service that you offer, and hire and train people to do the work for you, then ultimately that can become very time leveraged as well. And probably the sort of other main class of time leverage would be investment. And the whole thing there is, you know, don't work for your money, make your money work for you. So if you put your money into a bank account and you get, you earn some interest on that, at the end of the year, you just have some money. You didn't have to do anything for it. And if you want to make more money, you don't have to spend any more time. You just have to invest more into the savings account. Investment is a more sort of time leveraged way of generating income. And ultimately, people that want to retire have to somehow move themselves away from selling labor and into time leveraged income. And the traditional way of doing that has been, of course, to save up, get a pension. And with the pension, you buy what's called an annuity, which is basically just pays you a fixed amount every year. So, and you just get that for till you die. So yeah, the sort of standard strategy for most people is get a job, slowly increase their skill set to move up the food chain, save their money for a pension, hopefully buy a house, and then retire on their pension. And that's been a formula that's worked for many people, particularly people that are entering into retirement now. I'm not convinced that that is the best strategy going forward. I think we live in a very different economic time to the baby boomers. We're having to compete with China and India for labour. We're facing sort of heavy automation, artificial intelligence, robotics, things like that, computing. So I'm not convinced that's the best strategy anymore. Of course, the other problem is everyone is trying to do that. So you're inevitably sort of competing with everyone. And I haven't done enough research on it to know for a fact. And I'm sure if you get a very well-paid job and save and you can get a nice big pension, that'll work for you. But I think there's a lot of people where that strategy isn't working for them. What are your options? I mean, retire later, accept a lower standard of living when you retire, or you have to make some kind of sacrifices now, make some changes, give up some things in the short term, and hopefully benefit from that in the long term. So I'm going to focus most of this on moving into time leveraged streams of income, because ultimately people want that. I will do a little bit on how you can get more for selling your labor, which I did. So that's worth touching upon. And it's good to kind of mix the two strategies. So we'll get more into that later, but I just wanted to sort of lay out the scene of the sort of financial picture for a Western democracy. That's basically what's in front of everyone, and you've got to kind of pick a mix of the different options available.